WDR Oshkosh and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. The number of dead in Turkey and Syria now topping 17,000 after this week's earthquake.
The losses are unimaginable. Many victims are refugees who fled war-torn Syria. Seven members of one extended family were found. They were killed as they slept. Youngest, 6 weeks old. An overnight word that a family from New York City died in the quake while visiting family. Turkey's President Erdogan has acknowledged shortcomings in emergency response efforts, blaming bad weather and damage at a local airport. He's also under fire for restricting access to Twitter, which can be a communication lifeline for families of survivors.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Members of Congress got a briefing on that Chinese spy balloon shot down by the U.S. military. Lawmakers want to know how the balloon was able to enter U.S. airspace in the first place. Another big basketball trade, Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant reportedly going to the Phoenix Suns. This is ABC News. A California woman whose husband died in Mexico now speaking exclusively to ABC News. Kim Blair says she went to bed before her husband the night he died, apparently falling from a balcony.
Hours before his death, Kim says she and Elliot were driving back to the resort when local police pulled them over. The officers claimed the couple had rolled through a stop sign, and then she says the officers demanded cash.
Elliot stood his ground, showed him his work badge, and said, look, we're attorneys.
Kim says they told the officers where they were staying and then paid them $160.
We were both rattled, but at the same time, we both had this feeling of, thank God they didn't do anything more to us.
At the time of his death, Mexican authorities suggested Elliot was drunk. But Kim says this was not a drunken fall.
ABC's Jacqueline Lee. And Twitter Blue subscribers getting a lot more space for tweets. The company now says they'll be able to send tweets up to 4,000 characters instead of the usual 280. I'm Tom Rivers, ABC News.
You are listening to your local Civic Media radio station on air. Thank you. Did you know we are always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app too? And if you miss a show or game, find it wherever you get your podcasts or on our website, civicmedia.us.
Dueling Tangents with Luke and Brian.
I'm really trying hard not to go insane from the mind screw that is this situation. Yes. With I was going to say the GAB, but now it's the WEC, which
right.
Was audited by the LAB, and then it's now screwed up by the GOP, and we're all SOL. Good for us. Congratulations.
Look at all those acronyms. Yeah.
Oh. We're the winners.
Tune in for Dueling Tangents every weekday at 2.
Our guest is Kristen Elfheim, who is the state Senate candidate for District 19 in the Fox Valley.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.
There are really good people that have been in Madison on both sides. And if we're not letting the strongest problem solvers win, we're making a mistake.
Listen to As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry, always on the Civic Media app.
I'm looking at the phone lines. I'm seeing some familiar faces. Once in a while, Gene of Eau Claire.
Well, welcome back, Matt. I really miss you. We've been missing getting woke every morning, but now we'll get woke in the afternoon.
Once in a while, Andrew of Detroit.
Professor, it's so nice you're back. We missed you during your vacation, and I'm very happy to be in your class for the semester.
Thanks a lot for calling in. I appreciate all my callers.
Tune in to Matt Flynn Direct, Monday through Friday, 3 to 4 p.m.
What is dedication?
My daughter started making necklaces. She makes what we call affirmation fashion. I tell her every day that your black is beautiful. And if there's anything better than being beautiful, it's being smart. And if there's anything better than being smart, it's being kind. And reaffirming that every day is our method of making sure her chin never drops.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Mama, what does the chicken say?
Chicken. Oh, okay.
And a wolf?
Oh, a wolf. Ooh!
What about the tiny dog? Cat.
Aww.
Owl.
Ooh, ooh, ooh.
Dolphin? What does the turkey say? Whale.
Whale, so.
Do the giraffe.
Giraffe, really? Okay.
Giraffe.
You're not going to get it all right. Just make sure you nail the big stuff, like making sure your kids are buckled correctly in the right seat for their age and size. Get it right.
Visit nhtsa.gov/the right seat.
Brought to you by the National Highway Traffic Safety Administration and the Ad Council.
You've kept up with the times. For example, you're fluent in texting.
Honey, what does IGTTSWA mean?
It means I'm going to the store, want anything.
If you can do that, you can definitely save for retirement. Go to aceyourretirement.org for a quick 3-minute chat with Avo, the friendly digital retirement coach. Get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. And it's sponsored by AARP, so you know they got your back. Check out aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Up North News with Pat Kreitlow is a product of Courier Newsroom and has a joint sales agreement with Civic Media. Enjoy.
The Civic Media team would...
A prosecutor and now a circuit court judge. That's Janet Protasiewicz. On the Supreme Court, Judge Janet will be an impartial, common-sense judge who will fight against extremism. Raised in a working-class family and daughter to a Catholic school teacher, Judge Janet worked her way through college as a waitress. She knows the value of hard work. After law school, Janet didn't go to a big, fancy corporate law firm. She became a prosecutor. And for 25 years, she put murderers, rapists, and child sexual predators behind bars. Judge Janet has seen up close what crime can do to a community. And on the court, she'll work to protect public safety. That's why Judge Janet is backed by law enforcement across Wisconsin. She's running for Supreme Court because we need more common sense and less extremism on the bench. Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She's the change Wisconsin needs. Paid for by Janet for Justice.
Being a father is an honor, a challenge, a duty, a celebration, and a testimony. I want to be legendary for you because I found everything to live for.
That's dedication. Visit fatherhood.gov to hear more. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Join the conversation with your favorite hosts or shows anytime. Follow Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook. Share your thoughts on our social media channels wherever you are, whenever you want. The Civic Media Network of local radio stations here for you.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Cloudy skies today, with snow likely becoming mixed precipitation. High of 35, winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for mixed precipitation, 21. 1 to 3 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
Civic Media radio stations, providing your news, conversations, and fun you won't find anywhere else.
You are listening to
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
ABC News, I'm Tom Rivers. The number of dead in Turkey and Syria now topping 17,000 after this week's earthquake.
The losses are unimaginable. Many victims are refugees who fled war-torn Syria. Seven members of one extended family were found. They were killed as they slept. Youngest, 6 weeks old. An overnight word that a family from New York City died in the quake while visiting family. Turkey's President Erdogan has acknowledged shortcomings in emergency response efforts, blaming bad weather and damage at a local airport. He's also under fire for restricting access to Twitter, which can be a communication lifeline for families of survivors.
ABC's Andrew Dimbert. Members of Congress got a briefing on that Chinese spy balloon shot down by the U.S. military. Lawmakers want to know how the balloon was able to enter U.S. airspace in the first place. Another big basketball trade, Brooklyn Nets star Kevin Durant reportedly going to the Phoenix Suns. This is ABC News.
Hey everybody, how we doing? I'm Charlie Behrens, inviting you to join me Saturdays and or Sundays at noon. It's a horse apiece, whatever you decide. We're doing the Cripescast, where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest, and it's more fun than a six-pack of Jolly Good. Okay, the pride of Random Lake, that Jolly Good is. Anyway, it's on your Civic Media station and the Civic Media app. And do me a favor, yeah, tell your folks I says hi. Okay, real good.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
It's Friday.
Oh, it is Friday.
It was a short week, and it still feels like it was a long week. And we did it!
We did. Well, we're almost
it. We almost did it. We still got to get through today. But we did it. We live to tell about it. We're having fun.
Yeah. All kinds of fun things planned for today.
Listen Monday through Friday from 11 a.m. to 2 p.m. for As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry. Always on the Civic Media app.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
Hey, wouldn't it be great if life came with a remote control? You know, you could hit pause when you needed to, or hit rewind, like that time you knocked down that wasp's nest.
Uh-oh.
Or that time you forgot to roll up your windows in the car wash.
Fantastic.
Yeah, a remote control would have come in handy then. Well, life doesn't always give you time to change the outcome. But prediabetes does. With early diagnosis and a few healthy changes like managing your weight, getting active, stopping smoking, and eating healthier, you can stop prediabetes before it leads to type 2 diabetes. It's easy to learn your risk. Take the 1-minute test today at doihaveprediabetes.org. Life doesn't come with a remote control.
Yikes!
So you're on your own with the wasps. You have the power to take control of prediabetes. Visit doihaveprediabetes.org today. That's doihaveprediabetes.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council and its prediabetes.
Follow Up North News online anytime. Search Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter for Up North News WI and our homepage, upnorthnewswi.com.
I spent years just trying to find you so I could finally let you know. It was your son's heart that saved me and a life you gave us both.
Song of the Year, Just Like That, from Bonnie Raitt. She was surprised to win the Grammy for it. I was not aware of the song, was not aware until I started, you know, listening to the song and looking at the lyrics, that it's about organ donation and a woman meeting a young man who received her son's heart after his passing. Just a very touching song by Bonnie Raitt. Just Like That, again, is the name of it. Here on Up North News Radio, we're going to cover a couple of topics here from the legislature. We're going to talk about professional licensing, and then we're going to talk about co-pays for health insurance with a couple of guests here. But first, I wanted to pass along that folks have been aware for quite some time now that the Wisconsin Department of Safety and Professional Services has been having terrible problems with delays in processing license requests. And this is starting to affect more and more people. And it's an agency, like many others, that has been short-staffed and facing tight budgets since the Scott Walker years. And yet, things were starting to turn around. Matthew DeFore talked about this in a story at Wisconsin Watch about how the rate of returns for the public picked up after Governor Evers used federal funding to increase the agency's call center staff from 6 to 26. And again, there is funding available to continue to help hire call center workers and improve performance. But instead, Republicans running the Legislative Audit Committee have decided not to spend that money, including a $47 million surplus from license fees, and instead has authorized an audit to look into the past delays at that Department of Safety and Professional Services, which is going to make the backlog worse, because now the workers there are going to be taking time to comply with the audit as well. And so there is a way for funding to be used in a good way to serve, but instead it's being used to punish when they already know what the problem was. It's the budget austerity that we have had to endure for 12 years in the state in the name of somehow proving government doesn't work. And instead of engaging in service, we're engaging in an audit that will tell us what we already know. And the backlog is not going to get any better because of this Republican action from yesterday. Now I want to turn to a bipartisan matter in the Wisconsin legislature. There was a press conference that was held on a bill called All Copays Count, something that would ensure Wisconsin patients can continue to access their prescription medications, to help make sure that any copay assistance that people get can continue to go toward their cost-sharing requirements, something that insurance companies don't want to have happen. And I have several guests with me here. They include Rob Gunderman from the Wisconsin All Copays Count Coalition. We also have Sarah Solly, a government relations director for the American Cancer Society Action Network of Wisconsin. And we also have, I want to get, did she drop off? We had somebody, Annette Houston was with us earlier. Looks like she's not on the call here, but we're going to welcome in Rob and Sarah. Rob, good morning to you. Sarah, hi.
Good morning.
Hi.
Okay, let's take a step back here. I gave a bit of an introduction, but let's frame it in the way that it happens with, you know, with regular folks. Who tell us about the copay assistance that they can get. Where does that come from? And then we'll talk about what the health insurance companies have to do with it, or what they want to do with it. But Rob, let's start with what is this copay assistance?
So when we have some medications, frequently they will go to the manufacturer of that medication and apply for copay assistance, which is basically it's a manufacturer's card you get, it looks like a little credit card, and you use that to pay for your medications. The problem we run into is that that runs out, and then when I'm getting the calls is towards the end of the year when the person's manufacturer's assistance has run out. They go to pay for the medications, and then they find out they're paying list price and that their deductible hasn't been filled. That's the crux of it.
And it's I guess I've seen in some news stories, the word that you didn't use, but I hear others use, is it's kind of like a coupon. Like the drug companies say, you know, here's a coupon to discount off so much of it. But health insurance companies are not wanting to, are they not wanting to accept it, or are they refusing to accept these coupons right now?
What they're doing is they're taking the coupon, but they're not applying it towards the patient's deductible. So they're really double dipping. They're getting paid up front this one, and then late in the year when that patient goes and their assistance is run out, they're then paying again because they're having to fill that deductible. None of the manufacturer's assistance went towards their deductible.
That's a little unbelievable, Sarah, but you know, as you and I and others with the American Cancer Society have discussed before, this is not the first time that we've had to deal with health insurance companies and, you know, paying for the things that premiums go toward. Is this a frequent problem? Is it a growing problem, Sarah? What's the situation like for the people around you?
Well, so, you know, obviously we are an advocacy organization with patients in mind, and this has a direct impact on patients in a very negative way. You know, we are in the process of meeting a lot of folks that benefit from copay assistance programs, but don't see the benefit through their insurance company, as Rob said. You know, 16 other states have passed this, and Wisconsin is trying to join those 16 other states. We just want this money to work in the way that is intended, right? That the patient actually benefits rather than the insurance company benefiting.
I guess I should say, Rob, and then I'm going to turn to Annette, but to when people say, well, why would that be the case? Again, from what I'm reading, the health insurance industry response is, well, they may be using these coupons for these drugs, but those may not be the right drugs. And as a result, because of the coupons, they're using very expensive drugs rather than using alternatives. What's your response to that?
That's just not true. The vast majority of these cases, there is not a generic alternative. There's only the brand name for those cases. So that just doesn't hold water.
Annette Houston's with us now, a patient advocate who is part of the news conference at the Capitol to talk about the Wisconsin All Copays Count Coalition. It is nice to have you here, Annette. Can you tell me a bit about the extent of this problem in terms of the patients that you advocate for? Are you with us, Annette? Oh, I thought we had her here, but she appears to be having some computer issues. So let me ask this then, Rob. This was a bipartisan news conference, Republican and Democratic members of the Senate and Assembly. But is this the first time the bill's come up, or has it come up in the past and did it not go through or not get enough votes? What's been the story on this in the legislature?
So it came up last session, and the bill didn't get a hearing just before the legislature went out of session. So we just, the clock ran out last time. That was the issue.
Okay. And Sarah, as you talk to legislators, we did talk about what the health industry talking point seems to be. What are your conversations like either with legislators, staffers, you know, other folks under the dome?
Sure. So prior to yesterday, we were just sort of educating on this bill, talking about this issue. The response has been sort of like yours, Pat, you know, somewhat unbelievable. You know, lawmakers, as we talk with them about this, don't quite understand why this wouldn't apply to the patient's maximum out of pocket. You know, there's certainly a lot of questions and curiosity about, you know, solving this problem and interest in solving this problem. I think, you know, now after the press conference that the bill is out there, we're seeing the insurance industry come out with their sort of arguments against that. So our conversations with lawmakers will then, you know, we'll add sort of the counter to that. Some of the claims that they're making are not true. In the 16 other states that we've seen this, you know, premiums are not rising because of this. They're rising, you know, at the same rate as other states that have even not done this. So there's no way to directly say that this is causing, you know, the problems that the insurance industry is claiming.
If you don't mind a little inside baseball here, I want to talk briefly about when you talked about educating lawmakers as somebody who's been in that position as a state senator. It really was one of the most enjoyable aspects of the job, was learning something new, understanding that it is not necessarily an instantly Democratic or Republican position to take on it, and that people can actually come together and work on an issue. And Sarah, you and I both know, and Rob, you as well, how frustrating things can be in the Capitol. But is this one of the rare instances where you walk out of offices from both parties and feel like, you know, we actually had a moment of positivity there and advancing an issue?
Pat, I would say so, right? I mean, as Rob mentioned, and you mentioned at the top of your show, this is a bipartisan effort, right? I mean, there is lawmakers from both sides in both houses on this bill. You know, there is a lot of curiosity in my meetings that I haven't seen in quite some time. You know, lots of questions asked about this, and we take it very seriously that it's kind of our role to educate. You know, the lawmakers deal with so many issues, and you know, to come in there and to be able to talk to lawmakers on both sides of the aisle and have a positive response and a real genuine, you know, sort of hope to change and fix this on behalf of patients, which is sort of, you know, the main reason we would want to do this.
All right. And Rob, I want to talk more about the coalition because, again, the...
Hey, everybody.
A prosecutor and now a circuit court judge. That's Janet Protasiewicz. On the Supreme Court, Judge Janet will be an impartial, common sense judge who will fight against extremism. Raised in a working class family and daughter to a Catholic school teacher, Judge Janet worked her way through college as a waitress. She knows the value of hard work. After law school, Janet didn't go to a big fancy corporate law firm. She became a prosecutor. And for 25 years, she put murderers, rapists, and child sexual predators behind bars. Judge Janet has seen up close what crime can do to a community. And on the court, she'll work to protect public safety. That's why Judge Janet is backed by law enforcement across Wisconsin. She's running for Supreme Court because we need more common sense and less extremism on the bench. Judge Janet Protasiewicz. She's the change Wisconsin needs. Paid for by Janet for Justice.
Did you know your favorite shows and hosts are active on social media too? Find Civic Media on Twitter, Instagram, or Facebook and be part of the conversation happening there. And go to our website, civicmedia.us, to learn more about the Civic Media Network.
Plenty of people start something great in their 40s and 50s. Getting your retirement savings on track is no different. Go to aceyourretirement.org and in 3 minutes you'll get personalized tips to help boost your retirement savings. That's aceyourretirement.org. A message from AARP and the Ad Council.
Here's your updated forecast. A winter weather advisory begins at 9 a.m. this morning and continues until 6 p.m. this evening. Cloudy skies today, with snow likely becoming mixed precipitation. High of 35, winds out of the north, 10 to 15 miles per hour. Cloudy tonight, chance for mixed precipitation, 21. 1 to 3 inches of snow today. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley on 98.3 FM and 1100 AM WISS. Right now, 33.
A fresh approach to finding common ground in the Fox Valley. This is Civic Media. Civic Media.
If they can reach out to the legislature and ask them to support the all copays count legislation, that would really help.
I appreciate so much your time to do this on short notice and come talk about it. Annette Houston, Rob Gunderman, Sarah Solly, so great to talk to you all. Thank you for educating our audience on it, and we wish you all the best.
Thanks.
All right. We'll take one more break, and then we will be joined by Todd Alba right after this break on Up North News Radio. if it's Wednesday, it's time for your crossover special here in the Civic Media homeroom, where we welcome in Todd Alba, and then he's usually crazy enough to welcome me in for the first minute, few minutes of his show coming up at the top of the hour here on many of these Civic Media radio stations. Mr. Alba, how are you?
I am excellent, Pat. How are you?
I'm fine, but you are so snazzy today. I mean, look at you, crisp white shirt and a nice tie, and I'm sitting here in fleece and flannel up north. What's the occasion?
It's kind of like, after Superman, not to say I'm Superman, but once Superman kind of like took that break of being Superman for a while, and the suit was still there. The Republican suit is always in the closet, ready to be broken out at any moment. It's a big presidential visit day here in Wisconsin, and Madison, DeForest, the suburb in particular. So we are going to be carrying that across the Civic Media Radio Network, and I'm going to be anchoring that along with our news director, Terry Bell. They're telling us around noon, but as you know, these presidential visits are always a little, soft in terms of time. And they do it for security reasons. They don't want people to know exactly when the President of the United States is going to appear where. So it may be closer to 1:30, 1:45-ish. We'll see.
We'll see. And I have to admit, now I set the bar low today. I think I set it a little too high yesterday, saying if there's any announcements, we'll have them. But given that the president, really couldn't lay out a legislative agenda because of, the makeup of this new Congress, I would not think the bar would be set for any big news, maybe something related to the Infrastructure Act. But it's just as likely he's just going to come and deliver some boilerplate remarks about the manufacturing part of his speech and then move on to his next stop.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we talked about this last night. I thought we had a great panel, by the way. We had Joseph Pecky, a Democratic strategist. We also had Matt Flynn, of course, past Democratic Party chair for Wisconsin. We also had Bill McCosian, a longtime Republican, respected across the state, was former Secretary of Commerce under Governor Tommy Thompson. So we had a lot of back and forth. The point that I made or that I talked about with Bill McCosian last night, Joe Biden last night talked about Buy America, supply chains for China, getting them back to the United States, lots of deals, record jobs, non-college workers. I mean, these are things that Donald Trump would love to run on. I mean, places like where you or I are from in the western part of the state, the rural parts of the state, those are issues that resonate with voters, and I thought he nailed it.
And yet, I don't know what Bill had to say, but there was such an emphasis on, that Biden would, muff up a word here or there, as somebody would who's A, of his age, B, has overcome a speech impediment. But again, to look more at the surface of the theatrics, if you will, is kind of keeping in theme with what we saw shamefully from some members of the Republican side who wanted to turn this all into theater rather than the substance of the remarks.
Yeah, I agree. And I'm not trying to give Bill speech for it, but basically just kind of threw it out there. Bill agreed that those were smart topics for Biden to run on, that they resonated with kind of that Republican swing voter, that independent, whoever she or he is yet in Wisconsin, that still will vote for both sides. But you're right. As far as I'm a guy who loves the theater. I mean, Bill didn't like the length of it. Joseph Pecky said we should just get rid of these things, just make them go back to writing. See, I'm a guy that loves the pomp and circumstance. I love the theater of it all. I thought it was, it was closer to Prime Minister's questions last night in the UK than it was a State of the Union address. I don't think it should be that disrespectful. But here's the great thing, Pat. I thought last night showed quintessential Joe Biden. I thought it showed his strengths. He get a little back and forth. He wasn't going to be taken down. You're right. This is the thing that Republicans do that is just cruel. They go after his stumbling of words. This is a guy who was born with a major speech impediment, a stutter, and still, when he's not in public, still stutters. And he has to work every single time he's in public not to be stuttering. And I thought he knocked it out of the park last night in his oratory and the way that he handled that heckling.
And it really could be that he could say to some of those folks, after the speech is over, at the end of the day, I can overcome my speech impediment. You are still going to be a jackass. And that's, that's really what it came down to in some cases. Look, I'm all in favor, and I've said this for a long, long time. I'm all in favor of starting something more along the lines of Prime Minister's questions. I think we actually would, we would do well with that kind of an instant back and forth in Congress instead of the same old canned speeches. But that's not what this was. And frankly, I agree with those who've said it. It's almost like somehow Democrats set up Republicans to do this, to look like jerks, because, again, while that feeds red meat to a base, that base is not nearly enough to overcome, you know, the independents who look at that and go,
fear you may be miss our conversations on air. Join the discussion on our social media channels. Find Civic Media on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. You can also find social media for specific shows and hosts on our website. Go to civicmedia.us.
Hey, this is Jim Santel. I am the host of Morning Cannolis. Every single Saturday morning from 9 a.m. to 11 a.m., we talk about the major stories in law, in government, and the aspiration for justice in America. Delighted to have you join, call in, and be a part of our discussion right here on the networks of Civic Media.
You're listening to WISS 1100 AM Berlin, W252 DR Oshkosh, and WGBW 1590 AM Denmark, W250 CV Green Bay.
Hey, baby.